It's good to hear. Isn't it good to hear? God is at work in the world, and he's moving in every life, but it's good to hear God moving in the life of our children, to put it that way. They're not children anymore, but it really is. And Fellowship Bible Church, this is part of what God has done through us, you know, and through the Morenos, through Stephen and Deanne and the whole crew. They're all over there sitting right now, which is really neat. Okay, well, it's Father's Day. On Father's Day, we speak to dads. On Mother's Day, as a church, we love on mothers, you know. I mean, sometimes we even have the little flower things that we put on them, and we say, "Moms, you're so good. You've done so many good things. You sacrifice us," and we lavish love on them. Father's Day, well, we challenge dads. And we step on toes. That's what you do, right? You step on toes. So today, well, we're going to step on our toes, dads. We're going to do that, all right? Two passages we're going to look at today, Colossians 3:21 and Ephesians 6:4. So let's jump right in and look at Colossians 3:21. If you have your Bibles, please open up. Colossians 3:21. The title of our sermon this morning is, Fathers, Don't Make Your Kids Angry. Don't make them angry. That's a clear commandment in the Bible. So let's look at that first one, Colossians 3:21. If you have it there, it says this, Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Don't exasperate your children. The word exasperate, if you have a different translation than mine, it's translated, don't provoke, don't embitter. Don't aggravate. Means don't irritate them. Don't incite them. Don't arouse them to anger. The word anger is not there in the Greek, but it's understood by the context. Right? Don't exasperate your children. Parallel to that, we find Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, which says basically the same thing. If you have your Bibles there, Ephesians 6, 4 says this. It says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. The word provoke to anger is just one word in the Greek, all right? And it's one word that has the word anger, to make angry, and a qualifying prefix to that. And that qualifying prefix is an enhancement. It makes it stronger. It intensifies the meaning. It's the word, the prefix para, all right, para, which means to come alongside, all right? So when you put these two things together, it says, don't make angry close beside. Don't come alongside and make angry. We would say it's like getting into someone's face, all right? Don't get in their face to make them angry. Or we could say it's like, don't really push their buttons to get them angry. That's what it means. Don't provoke your children to anger. Now, my question has always been this. When I read these passages, and it's to fathers, but it could also be, you know, to parents, but to fathers is, why on earth does God say this? Why is this the command? Don't make your kids angry. Well, my own experience has been very useful in helping me to understand. And if you're a father or parent, or you've been a child with fathers and parents, you know that this whole family situation, especially parenting and fathering, involves anger. Anger is a part of it. You know, anger is. We know that's the case because, well, we're all sinners. So let's look at a case study. And this case study is kind of tongue-in-cheek, so just go with me if you would. I'm just going to make this case study so that we can get into the practical aspects of this whole issue of fathers, don't make your children angry. All right? Case study. Say you have a rule in your house. And the rule in the house is, if you make a mess, clean it up. Anybody have that rule in your house? Yeah, if you make a mess, clean it up. Yeah, okay. Very good. Now, let's say that your child likes to eat, and on this occurrence, leaves some food out and utensils. And you walk in and you see it, and it's in disarray. And this is not a random occurrence. It's happened repeatedly, and so much so that you recognize this pattern happening. Food left out, you know. Okay, case study. Remember, it's a case study. So when you come and you see this happening, You say this. I've told you many times to take this food when you're done, put it back, and to take the utensils, put them in the dishwasher. Just go ahead and do that. But alas, it has not happened. And so you as the parent, as a father, you feel some anger on multiple levels. You're angry because there's an injustice happening here. Food has been wasted. Mess has been left. Bugs are going to come into it, right? And not only that, but you've told your child, you know, I work hard to provide for you. And it feels to me when I ask you to do something small like this, you know, that you take for granted and you waste and you don't listen to me. And so you feel that on the inside. Now, your children are also of age where, you know, they can discipline themselves and control themselves. And so there's more to it than that. You want to see your child grow in self-discipline and control. You know, basic hygiene things need to happen. And of course, it's not rocket science. This is stuff where you just put your toys away, you know, like kindergarten. Put your toys away. All this takes place very quickly in your mind. Bloop, you know. Go back to the passage. Now, with the case study there, the passage has told us here, don't provoke your children to anger. Have your children, in this case study, provoked you to anger? Well, yes, they have. Now, you could deal with this situation differently, and many parents have in the world and are encouraged to do that. Instead of getting angry, you could just let it go. You could praise your little angels for leaving works of art on the table. Now, this is very tongue-in-cheek, so please go with me. A work of art, crumbs on a dish and tabletop by your child. Beautiful, beautiful. My little angel, look what you've done. Or this one, ketchup smears with fork along with very authentic smell. Okay, it's tongue-in-cheek, I know. Going a little bit too far here. But you confront them, okay? And you say, hey, clean up your mess now, please. And chances are, because this is a family situation, that there will be some kickback, you know? Especially if you say something like, I told you already 5 times, do this. Or you raise your voice a little bit and anger starts to show through. With this kickback, there is the chance that this will escalate. I mean, you know, you live in a family, so you can push their buttons and your children can push your buttons as well. In fact, sometimes it doesn't take long for your children to know how to mash your buttons repeatedly with a sledgehammer, you know. And you can do the same to them. But the goal, according to these two passages, is not anger. That's not the goal. What is the goal? Well, both verses tell us. The second part of Colossians 3:21 says this, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Now, this goal is put in the negative, right? The negative here is don't make them angry so that they will not lose heart. Now, the word lose heart here is translated various ways as well. In the New English Translation, is so that they won't be disheartened. The English Standard Version, the New Living Translation, and the New International Version says so that they won't get discouraged. Huh. Can we as parents, fathers, discourage our children by the way we treat them? Can we do that? I know I can. And many times we hear this, you know, when children grow up, they come back and they say, you know, I could never do anything right for my dad or mom. I could never be good enough for them. There's a child that might be discouraged right there, that might have lost heart. Maybe you've experienced that from your family. And we don't want to do that to our children. That's why God says very clearly, don't make your children angry. Now, we as parents, fathers, we have a Father in heaven who knows how to do this. we have understood from our Father that your child, my child, is a sinner. Right? Children have been sinners from the time, well, from the very beginning. Children have been sinners. We also know that God is still working through families. Why? Well, the design has not changed. Is God still giving fathers and parents children? Yes, He is. He's still putting them together in a family. Is He still working through families? Absolutely, He is. So parents, fathers, we're called first to digest this truth. Don't lose heart, parents. And I say this because I myself have been there. When your child doesn't do things the way you want them done, it's so easy to say, oh, I'm frustrated, I'm discouraged, I lose heart, I'm losing sight of the truth here. And that usually leads to anger, and I usually pass on my anger to my children. So the call here is to take heed. It says, don't make them discouraged. Well, it starts with you. Don't pass on the discouragement. Your Father in heaven is still at work in you and in your children's life. Ephesians passage brings this now into the positive. The Ephesians passage says this: Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The Colossians passage is in the negative. This one's in the positive. It's clearly stated in the positive. There are three things that we can bring up here. First, we can bring up this whole word. In my translation, it's to bring them up, okay? To bring them up. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, all right? The literal translation would be feed them up. Feed them up. Nourish. Nourish your kids so that they will grow, so that they will come up, so that they will reach that potential that God has for them. And that requires us to have a little knowledge of what the outcome is. What is that outcome? Bring them up. The second thing that we read here is bring them up in the discipline, next word. Now, this word for discipline here is such a cool word because it deals with whole training. It's a technical word for holistic training. It's used elsewhere, but it finds its meaning, its true meaning in this scenario here, a parent-child relationship. Fathers and parents are to train their kids in all aspects of life, and that's what happened. You do it from potty training to keeping a budget, right? You do it from the ABCs to the MLA form. You do it from the golden rule all the way to marriage commitment. It's the whole enchilada, the whole ball of wax. We as parents and fathers get to do that. It carries both the positive and the negative reinforcement. All right, so we are to bring them up, nourish up. The goal is to bring them up, not to beat them down. The second one is you do it through complete training, all, the whole thing. And then the third portion here is bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The word for instruction is a very cool word as well. This word picture that comes to mind in the literal meaning is so good that I want to share it with you. It's two words coming together here. It's mind, the word for instruction, and placing. Mind placing. Ah, good word. Fathers, you are involved in mind placing with your kids, right? How do we do that, fathers? Well, through your life. Through your life, right? Your life is an open book. It's the book that your children read every day. Just the way it is. And so, what is your book saying about life? What is it saying? This is convicting to me, guys. This is stepping on toes. Let's ask some questions. So, what are they reading? What do you watch on TV? What is it? Okay. What do you talk about with your kids? What is it? What do you allow to come into your home? What's going on there? Now, you can't think your child's thoughts for them. A lot of parents try to live their kids' life, They try to live their own dreams to their kids' life. That's not good. We try to do that. But we do have this high privilege and responsibility to place our child's mind. If we want to put it succinctly, we place our child's mind in an environment, right? An environment where they can be raised up, right? What is that environment? Well, here it says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Whew. Okay. That's the definition. This is it. Fathers, place your child's mind in a position, a place, a state of being where they're exposed to the things of the Lord. Make your home, make your life this thing that's filled up with the things of the Lord. Wow. Practically, what does that look like? Well, some questions. Is your home of the Lord? Right? What's in your home? What do you talk about? What do you watch? What do you see? What do you do? Everything from what's on the wall to what comes in through media. You know, is it of the Lord? What about education? Is there education of the Lord? Now remember, parents, it's our responsibility as fathers and parents to educate our children. It's not the government's responsibility. No, it's our, you know, is it of the Lord? What are their friends like? What are your friends like? Are they of the Lord? What's the entertainment like? What's the music? What's the videos? Is it of the Lord? What are your dreams for your kids? Are they of the Lord? Are you communicating that? What do you want of your child? Do you want them to make a lot of money? Remember, love of money is what? A root of all kinds of evil. It's good. You want them to have a lot of knowledge? Okay, that's good. You want them to look good? Of course that's good. But that can also be really bad if it's not of the Lord. God calls us to do what? Seek first the kingdom of God, and He's going to provide the rest. Do you really believe that? If you do, well then, bring them up in the Lord. You know, show them that making money is not it's not the main thing in life. But you might say, Pastor dude, the world we live in is brutal on young people, brutal on kids. And you are absolutely right. The enemy's not playing tiddlywinks. He is out to destroy lives. And those with the most potential, I believe, are first on his list. And what are they? Our children. They're first on his list. I really believe it. First on his list. For this reason, fathers, we must take to heart God's instruction here. Don't let any other viewpoint define what a father is. Don't let any other viewpoint define what a family is. Don't let any other viewpoint define what a parent is. Let this, we need this, I need this. Even that 1950s, 1960s ideal family, you know which one that is? The Cleavers, is deeply flawed when it comes to God's call. Why? Are they going to teach you to instruction of the Lord? In the Lord? Of the Lord? Oh, we must drink deeply of God's word. We must drink deeply of the Lord himself in order to set our child's minds in the things of the Lord. Right? Now, I wish that this was my constant thought and attitude toward my children. I really do. But you can ask my kids and you can ask my wife. My humanity has leaked through many times, multiple times. I have gotten angry. I have made them angry. I have discouraged them. Any father done that? I'm there. And when your children are young, well, it's more straightforward. You need a lot of energy when they're young because those little kids got a lot of energy. But as they get older, well, thank the Lord that as they get older, God has chipped away some of the things in your life as well and given you some wisdom to deal with it. You know, God has it all figured out. We're not perfect. None of us are. No parent is. No child is either. I'm there. But He is. He is more than perfect. And he's working through us, even in our weaknesses, even in our mistakes, both as parents and children. When we make mistakes, what do? Well, the goal remains. What does God do? He grabs me by the scruff and he dusts me off and he says, look, the goal is still there. Grace, mercy. Get back in the saddle and keep going. To this point, God has not yet removed me from fatherhood with my children. And hallelujah. If your children are still with you, he has not removed you from being a father. Now, they may be out of the house, but you're still their father. Hallelujah. The goal still remains. And so we get back to the goal. This is a good goal. It's always there. The discipline and instruction of the Lord. Keep at it. Your mistakes and weaknesses are known to God. He knew of them before he ever put you together. God still has you as a parent. Therefore, keep moving forward. God still has you as a child. Therefore, keep moving forward. We don't get discouraged. That's what he said. We don't pass on this frustration and anger. We as parents should know more than anything the goal. That's our responsibility. We need to know the goal. There was this young father. He has some kids. He's been a father for 3 years. And I was reading through. I get this email coming to me every day from the Christian Standard Bible. And it was a testimony of a young father who was a writer there. And he said this. In God, we have the perfect guide for fatherhood. There have been many times in my 3 years of being a dad that have revealed my brokenness. But in those moments, I go to God with a repentant heart. Our hope, he says, as fathers, then is not in our own ability, but in the Father's perfect ability. And the assurance we have is that we look to this Father and we find grace and mercy needed in both these easy moments and the hard moments. And I sense God displays that grace and mercy to me through my children, as a reminder that the goal is always there. And that goal is not that we are perfect, but that we're there, pointing them to the perfect one. That's our calling. Being a dad to my two boys is one of the greatest gifts I've had in life. And one of the greatest gifts I hope to pass on to my kids as a dad is that I was always present with them, crying together, eating together, playing together, reading together, questioning together, discovering together, serving together, praying together, loving together. Because that mimics our Father in heaven who said he will never leave us or abandon us. Are you perfect? No. Are our children perfect? No. Your children are going to fail in life. You know that. But you are failing as well. And I, as a father, have failed more times than my children have attempted already. But God is good. So, one of the things that you can do, and with this we finish, and we're going to watch the video this time. I know it's a little bit late. One of the things we can do is this. When you're present with your children, and you have a perfect Father in heaven, you repent, fathers. Show your kids how to repent. They need that. And I can do that. I can do that. Show them that the goal is still in play. No matter how much they may fail, God's mercy, God's grace. You help them. Get up, dust them off. Keep going. I'm with you. I'm with you. The goal remains. Don't get discouraged. Don't get frustrated because that's what you're going to pass on. But if God's at work, discipline and instruction of the Lord is still there. Don't provoke them to anger. Keep the goal in mind. Even when you fail, you can remain there. Be in place. Be present. We place ourselves and them in God's hands and the discipline and instruction of the Lord.